So this morning I'm embarking on the second of a second sermon in the series of messages called Forever. How many of you all know that we are going to be around forever? Everybody's going to be around forever. We are forever beings. There's no end to our existence. I mean, now there are individuals that think, you know, whenever you die, they bury you and that's the end of it. They are completely wrong. Okay, completely wrong. We are eternal beings. So this is Forever Part 2, and this morning I have a message that I can kind of stop and start anywhere I want, and so I knew I was not going to get this all preached this morning. I'm trying to do this series in four parts, and it is definitely going to take me at least five. So Revelation chapter 20, if you want to just go there, we might get there today. So anyway, that's where we're going to kind of launch from. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to kind of answer some questions about heaven and some questions about hell. And last week, we kind of embarked on this. We kind of talked a lot about forever, eternity, and where we're going to spend eternity. And so I'm going to be talking about heaven and hell for at least the next 3 weeks. And so the reason that I'm talking about this, though, is because whenever you understand what the Bible says about heaven and hell, I mean, whenever you really come to that revelation of what heaven and hell is, this is what I'll tell you it does. It causes you to really, 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 really not want to go to hell. Okay? But on the other hand, it also causes you to really, 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 really want to go to heaven. Are y'all there with me? So we need to understand it. We need to understand what the Bible says about it. So whenever you don't understand it, I really believe that there is the possibility that you can actually lose some of your motivation to live for Jesus. I mean, whenever you've got an understanding of heaven and hell, I got to tell you, there's some great motivation there to live for Jesus. But whenever you don't understand it, you know, I mean, you kind of just go through life very nonchalantly. And so I tell you that today, I hope through these next series of several messages that we will have a greater understanding of heaven and hell. So I'm going to ask some questions, kind of alternating back and forth between heaven and hell. But this morning, I'm kind of going to start with this one. And I'm perhaps we may only get this one answered this morning because this is kind of the big one. But this is one that's been asked to me over and over and over and over. Why would a loving God send people to an eternal place of punishment? That's a question. Anybody ever thought that besides me? Why would a loving God send people to an eternal place of punishment? Why would God send people to hell? And now, I really believe that there's a couple of different groups of people that ask this question, okay? I've been asked this question many, many times, and I think that there are sincere people out there that ask this question, and they really want a sincere answer. Are y'all there with me? I mean, some people ask this question, and it's bothering them. You know, how could God, that is so loving, you know, the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. How could that loving God send somebody to hell? I think some real earnest truth seekers ask that question. However, I think that there are people who ask that question that are perhaps a little bit cynical. They don't really want an answer. They just use that question as a means for their defiance of Jesus Christ. They use that question as a means for their defiance or rejection of God. So this morning, in answering that question, because I believe if any of you are asking it, it is a sincere question. In order to answer that, I want to kind of lay a foundation to understand it of why it is that people go to hell. We have to know, why does God send people to hell? Well, the first thing we got to know is this. God didn't create hell for people. Okay? God didn't create hell for people. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He gave the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that no one would have to go to hell. In Matthew 25:41, we read this last week, the scripture that we read, it talks about the judgment of the sheep and the goats. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Okay? That's who it was prepared for. But, people rebelled against God. And as they rebelled against Him, they literally formed an alliance with the devil against God. And you go, wait a minute. How could they be forming an alliance? Folks, the Bible clearly puts us in two categories. He says, you're either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. There's no in between. Okay? And anytime somebody rebels against God, anytime somebody defies Christ, this is what you find. They have an alliance with the devil against God. In other words, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. In 2 Peter 3:9, this is one of those amazing scriptures. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some count slackness. In other words, how come he hasn't come back? It's been 2,000 years ago since Jesus was here. So the scripture's saying, hey, it's not slack like you think he is. But the Bible says he is long-suffering towards us. Let me use another word there. He is patient towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the reason that God's waiting, the reason that the rapture of the church hasn't taken place, the second coming of Christ hasn't taken place, is because God is patient. God is extremely patient. So God is not willing that any person goes to hell, but that every person comes to repentance. Okay? First point. Second point is this. God greatly desires a family to enjoy eternity with. He wants a family. He really, really wants a family. Now, theologically, God doesn't need anything. Y'all realize that? God doesn't need anything. You know, if you ask God to make out a Christmas list of what he wants, there's nothing that he would put on it because he is self-existent. If he needs something, he'll just make it for himself. But God desires a family. We know theologically he doesn't need one, but biblically, because it's all the way through the book, man, it's from Genesis to Revelation, God wants a family. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. All that God has done for the saving of humanity, amen? This amazing plan of Jesus Christ that we talked a whole lot about last week, how it was unfolded. This amazing plan, Jesus going to the cross, I mean, can you imagine what God the Father must have felt like whenever Jesus the Son said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But all that he has done it. And all he gets out of it is family. That's it. That's all he gets out of it. So now God created man and he created a woman in the Garden of Eden. And he commanded them. He said, you guys go out, multiply, fill the earth. He wanted them to fill up this globe with people because God wants a great big family to share eternity with. The end of all human history, whenever we're wrapping this whole thing up here on this planet, the thing that you and I need to understand is Jesus, the Son of God, gets a bride. That's us. Amen? That's us. We're the bride of Christ. Jesus gets a bride, but God gets a family. That's all he gets. And so we know that what God is after in creation and in life itself is he's after a family. God has given you and I free will as human beings. Free will. He can't force us to want him. Even though God wants us, he wants us to be his family. He cannot force us to want him. Ultimately, he honors our will concerning this choice. And believe me, there's only two choices. There's either heaven or there's hell. Heaven is where God is. Hell is where God isn't. And you can make another, this is what a lot of people think. A lot of people think you can make another choice. You know, well, heaven, hell, there's got to be something in between. There's even religions that teach that. You can't make another choice. There aren't two or three, I mean four, five, six choices out there. There's only two. And you can't reject Jesus Christ and go to a good place. Shirley MacLaine a few years ago wrote a book called Out on a Limb. Shirley MacLaine, great actress, but she's terrible theologian. Okay? She said that hell was going to be a place wasn't really bad. It's good. It's nice. It's nice to live there. But there's going to be a few things that have to be overcome by humanity. And one of those things is that everybody's elbows are going to be rigid so that you can't feed yourself. You're actually going to have to be fed by others. I'm thinking, hey, that might not be too bad. Feed me. You know? But I got to tell you, Shirley MacLaine missed it. Because hell is not a good place. It's a place of extreme punishment. Now, you can't reject God and go to a good place. You're going to go to a bad place. God has chosen us, His people, as His family. But He can't force us to want Him. He wants us to choose Him. He gave us this free will. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, one of the things that you're going to learn in those chapters is there's a whole lot of encrypted scripture that tells us about Lucifer, the story of Lucifer, who ultimately became the devil. He became Beelzebub. He became this enemy of the people of God. Now, Lucifer was not created to be Satan. Are y'all here with me? Lucifer was in heaven. He was created with perfection. Lucifer actually means light bearer. And so he was literally the covering cherub over the garden of God. He was heaven's worship leader. He had musical instruments literally built into his body, and he was perfect. Now listen to this. Lucifer he didn't have an abusive father. He didn't grow up in poverty. He had never been rejected by anybody. He had never had a bad day in his life. Everything was perfect, but in a perfect creation, one day he decided that he didn't want to take God's place, and so he rebelled against God. Everything perfect. Ooh. So Revelation chapter 12 shows us that he literally took a third of the angels. He must have had some kind of angelic meeting in heaven. He goes, okay, guys, we're going to take on God. I want to know how many of you are with me. We're going to kick him off the throne. And where I'm going to get up on the throne, how many of y'all want to follow me? And literally a third of the angels, because they have free choice, they decided they're going to go with Lucifer, and whew, it was a bad day for them. So you have this perfect heaven that's spoiled because one of the creatures that God gave free will to, in the midst of all of this perfection, he rebelled against God. And so God came to earth and he created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were perfect. How many of y'all know that? I mean, man, they were perfect. They were in the perfect place, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden means pleasure and delight. God lived with them in the garden. They had provisional immortality. They had lived forever. They were unbelievable specimens. I mean, I want you to think about this, okay? Adam and Eve both lived almost 1,000 years even after they sinned. Can you imagine asking, Grandpa, how old are you? 960. I hope I don't live that long. I mean, they were perfect. God created them in perfection. And listen to this. Adam and Eve never had a bad day. They were never abused. They never had any pain in their life. There was no sickness in their life. There was no reason whatsoever to rebel against God, but yet they rejected God. Think about this for a minute. In the midst of perfection, they rejected God. So God tried again. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth a perfect man, the Son of God, and He perfectly revealed God to everybody. He loved them. He healed them. He raised them from the dead. He did all of these mighty miracles, and they crucified this perfect man. And one more time, God is going to do it again. I mean, folks, I got to tell you, I've got this old thing. I don't know where it came from, but I've heard it somewhere. Three strikes and you're out. I'm glad God's not quitting after three. Are y'all there with me? I mean, three different times, a mess of it, but God is not quitting after three times. One more time, He's going to do it. And this is actually being called the millennial age. The church, those people that know Jesus Christ right now, we've called on Him as Lord and Savior. Remember, Lord, last week. He's Lord of our lives. We've been born again. John chapter 3 experience. We're on our way to heaven. Those individuals that are alive right now that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, we're going to get raptured. Going to get raptured. We're going to get raptured. We're going to heaven. And you guys got to understand this. It's going to be good. I'm telling you something. There ain't going to be no unhappy faces on the bus. Are y'all there with me? I mean, everybody's going to be singing. Everybody's going to be out of their seats. The driver of the bus is going to be said, sit down back there, you rowdy bunch. We say, drive, baby, drive. Are y'all there with me? No unhappy faces on the bus. This is this amazing thing, this rapture of the church. We're going to be with Jesus, and this is what's going to happen. We're going to get married. There's the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, this 7-year wedding that we're going to be taking part of. During this wedding, be married to Jesus. There's some bad things going to be happening here on this earth. The earth is literally going to be going through 7 years of tribulation. And then we're going to return. The rapture of the church, a 7-year interval, and then we're going to return. In Revelation chapter 19, it says we're going to return with Jesus, and we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with him. He is going to come here, and I'm just going to tell you something. Whenever Jesus is ruling and reigning, it is going to be perfect here on this globe. Perfect. Read my lips. Perfect. Everything is going to be perfect. Here's the record of what's going to take place in those 1,000 years. This is Revelation 20. Did I tell you to go there? Praise God, I'm good. Okay, so let's just read it. Revelation 20, verse number 1. It says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those are also the ones who received Christ during the tribulation. Those ones that that he sees this in his vision. They didn't take the mark. They didn't worship the Antichrist. And so in verse number 5, it says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan was released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. And again, Gog and Magog are just idioms for the nations that are in rebellion against God. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went upon the earth, the breadth of the earth, and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God and out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Woo! So now, think about this. In eternity's past, I don't know exactly when all this happened, but God created the angels and he gave them free will over and over a third of them used it against them. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against heaven, and it was spoiled because of it. And so God, then he made Adam and Eve, this perfect people, and they rebelled against him, and earth was spoiled because of it. And we're still seeing the results of that rebellion, folks. I got to tell you, anytime you stump your toe, break it, that is a direct result of what Adam and Eve did in their rebellion, and they spoiled earth because of it. I'm thinking if Adam and Eve are in heaven, there's going to be a lot of people punching them. So anyway, maybe not. Jesus was perfect, but they crucified him. And now Jesus, during the millennial reign, is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords as he returns to earth. I mean, he's it. And the mortals that are there that survive the tribulation, and I don't know how many that's going to be, but the Bible says as the sand of the sea. So it's going to be a whole lot, okay? So all the mortals that survived the tribulation, I'm not talking about the church now, I'm talking about everybody that's alive on the earth after the tribulation. So just for the sake of things, let's say it was, 3, 4, 5 billion people. Those mortals will be under the authority of us. The Bible says we will reign and rule with Christ Jesus. So during the millennial reign of Christ, we will reign over these people under Christ's authority. We'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ for this 1,000 years. It's perfect. It's perfect. Everything Jesus does is perfect. Think about it. The corrupt world that you and I live in right now, this political corruption that's everywhere, financial corruption that's everywhere right now, it's not going to be there. It's going to be perfect. I'm telling you, man, people cannot cheat you at the store giving you change back because it's going to be perfect. Are y'all there with me? No more identity fraud. LifeLock's going to go out of business. Can't happen. Perfect. Everything's perfect. Perfect king. Perfect. He's going to be in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He's going to rule the world perfectly. But then it says, from the four corners of the earth, as many as the sand is from the sea, it says people literally rushed and surrounded Jerusalem. And this is their intent. I want you to think about this for a minute. Their intent is to kill and to depose Jesus Christ as king. They're lining up by the millions. And they're going, we're taking you out of here, Jesus. And remember, this is at the end of the 1,000 years. The Bible says that Satan has actually been released from the bottomless pit for a season, the Bible says. So he's out there running around corrupting people's minds. And all of a sudden, these people rush on Jerusalem and they're going to depose Jesus Christ as king. And I just got to tell you, I think that God has pretty much just had it with these folks. Are y'all there with me? The Bible tells us that God's response, the response of the Father, is that he sends fire down from heaven and he kills them. Then he takes the devil, throws him in the lake of fire. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I can't wait for that day because the devil has caused a lot of grief. I cannot wait for that day. That you see, understand that. So at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan, he leads this rebellion. They want to depose Jesus Christ, want to kill him. God takes care of him. He kills all these people, and he takes Satan, and he throws him into the lake of fire forever, is what it says there. Forever. In fact, it actually goes a little further than that. It says forever and ever. I can't wait for that day. And so this morning, if you'll remember, I said, this is the first question. Why does God send people to hell? I'm still answering it. See, one of the reasons I believe is because sinful people are so incredibly selfish that they always want to put the blame on God. It's God's fault. The burden is always God. Why would a loving God send people to hell? So let me just ask this question. In response, why would any person reject a perfect God? Are y'all there with me? I mean, the third of the angels, they're in heaven. It's perfect there, and they rebel against God. Here's Adam and Eve, man. They're in a perfect place, and they rebel against God. Here's people 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Christ. They rebel against God. Why would anybody reject this perfect God? Folks, this is what I got to tell you. Hell is our choice. It is not God's choice. It's ours. God has been extremely patient in his desire to get a family. But he's not going to force anybody in here to love him. He's not going to, he doesn't want forced love. Because forced love is worthless love. God gave us a choice to love him. And you want to live in an eternity with a God that forces somebody to love you? I don't want that. So they've been created and they've been given this free will. And every single person in heaven has chosen to be there. I choose to go to heaven, folks. I choose it. I choose it. I choose to do what God says. I choose it. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy and peace and all of the things that heaven is going to supply to us, nobody wants to miss that. That's why I'm saying, man, we need an accurate description of what heaven is and an accurate description of what hell is. The Bible tells us that those who seek will find, and those who knock, it'll be answered. It opened unto them. But, man, I got to tell you, anybody in here that's raised children, you know what I'm talking about. Free will has consequences. And whenever they're little bitty, you don't give them their free will, you know. You don't tell them, if you want to or not, you can stick this key in that little slotted thing there on the wall. Don't give them free will. Take those keys away from them. Tell them, no, don't do that no more. Y'all with me? But man, I've got kids now that are in their 30s. They have a free will. They want to stick that key in that thing. I'm let them go. Okay, can I film it? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Free will has consequences. And God has given humanity consequences. I mean, free will, so that means that we have consequences. Free will not only means consequences, but I'll tell you what free will means. Also, is that free will has eternal consequences. God has given us free will, and with that free will, we are going to choose our way. Free will that God's put on this earth, there's consequences to it. There are people who want to live their lives any way that they want to live them. They want to live their lives not serving God. But the amazing thing about it is whenever you ask somebody, well, do you want to go to hell? No. I mean, I've actually had people tell me they wanted to go to hell, like two in my whole life. But you have to understand, if you choose with your free will not to obey what Christ has given us to obey, the responsibility for your choices, your eternal consequences that you're heaping up, y'all understand what I'm saying? It's our choice. It's our choice. Grown up, mature people, accept consequences. We do. If I'm driving down the road and I'm speeding and a cop stops me, okay? I mean, I'm going like 75 in the school zone. Some of you have done it. I've been behind you. Okay. I'm going 75 miles an hour. A cop stops me, and I know I was doing over the speed limit. I'm going to just tell you something. I'm not going to be mad at the cop. Are y'all there with me? Well, why did you stop me, you dirty dog? I'm not going to do that. It is my fault. I'm the one that had my foot on the accelerator. Are y'all there with me? I was the one that was disobeying the speed limit. I'm not going to get mad at the cop, but I got to tell you something. There's a lot of people that get mad at the cop. Why did you stop me? Well, why don't you just write me a warning and let me go? Well, I just hate you. You're a terrible cop. Folks, whenever we choose to disobey God, whenever we choose to live our lives any way that we want to, whenever we choose not to serve God, you got to understand, grown-up, mature people accept the consequences. I just tell the cop, I said, write me a ticket. One of the very last tickets I got, I was on my way back from kids camp. Had about 300 kids following me in buses. And I was trying to get back to the church early so I could tell the parents because we were late. And so I was driving too fast. A cop stops me. I said, man, it's been 25 years since I've had a ticket. He says, really? I said, I'm guilty. I was speeding. No problem. But I said, could you do me one favor? He said, what's that? I said, could you write that ticket quickly? Because I said, I really don't want to be sitting here on the side of the road with all these kids coming by. Is that pastor's truck? They're writing pastor a ticket. Grown-up, mature people, they accept the consequences. But I got to tell you that there's not a world that's filled with grown-up and mature people. There are a lot of people out there that are horribly immature, and so all of a sudden, they're living their life the way they want to, and they're doing whatever they want to, and they're not serving God, and all of a sudden, they realize that they're in a bind, and their life, their eternal destiny, literally is in jeopardy. They go, I don't understand why God would send anybody to hell if he's a loving God. Are y'all there? Grown-up, mature people, they accept consequences. Immature people don't accept that. Question number two, and we're gonna quit with this one. I'm not even going to explain it today, but I'm going to let you know what we're going to do next week. Will we know each other in heaven? I mean, will we know each other in heaven? Well, we were walking down the road and say, hey, Natalie, how's it doing? Preston, get off of my grass. You know, I mean, will we know each other in heaven? Is there a lot of people don't think so. You know, a lot of people think we're just going to be kind of lobotomized whenever we go to heaven, float around on a harp or a cloud and play a harp all day. Heaven is not like that. And so next week we're going to jump into that. We're going to talk about what happens if somebody never hears the gospel and they die. Where do they go? What happens to a child that has not reached the age of accountability and they die? What happens to the thousands and thousands of aborted babies worldwide every day? Where do they go? Because I'm telling you, regardless of what the liberal population of the world has told us, the absolute instant of conception, that is a soul. That is a human life. A human life. My wife has had like 5 miscarriages in our life. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have kids running around everywhere. Yeah, I'm serious. And I just hope they act like their mother. You know what I'm saying? So next week, that's where we're going to go. The next week, we're going to go there a little bit more because these questions, I really believe, deserve an answer. And so this morning, we just dealt with the first one, which is actually the big one. But hopefully through it all, we understand that man rebelled against this perfect God time after time after time after time. It was his choice because he gave us free will. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word this morning. I pray, Father, over it. Let us get it in our spirits, Lord. And Father, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, would go with us in our lives as we live them out day to day. And Father, I pray that we can be effective, Lord God, in the ministry that you've put into our hands for the community that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Love on one another.